I have not forgotten God's only begotten and the price that He paid for my sin. I must not forget, with joy not regret, He died on the cross for all men. Lord, afflicted, as the prophet predicted, despised and rejected of men. But in His agony there was ransom for me. His blood brought me joy without end. Lord, in the blood, His crimson flood, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten.
Live in a day where many have forgotten God's only begotten Son. We better never forget what Jesus did. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we might not feel like it's very good for us at the time. If we love God, it will work out for His good, for our good, and also for His glory. We will trust.
I must admit, I don't understand why God would let me face this painful circumstance. All I have to cling to is His Word and His His name, but that's enough. So I will trust it's for my good
and for His glory. This trial's not the end of the story. There's a bigger picture God alone can see. Faith will take me through this sorrow, for I know He holds tomorrow, and He assures me it's for my good
and for His glory.
I love the Lord, and He has promised me He'll work all things for good. Through my tears I believe that His ways are higher than any of my own. And though my heart aches, He makes no mistake.
It's for my good and for His glory. This trial's not the end of the story. There's a bigger picture God alone can see. Faith will take me through this sorrow, for I know He holds tomorrow, and He assures me it's for my good and for His glory.
Suffering that has come,
I'm willing now to say,
Lord, not my will, but Thine be done.
For my good and for His glory. This trial's not the end of the story. There's a bigger picture God alone can see. Faith will take me through this sorrow, for I know He holds tomorrow, and He assures me it's for my good
and for His glory.
For His glory.
Someone asked me about this song. I'm happy to try to sing it. It's a song talking about the future. And you know, I'm looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we right now, and I'm going to preach about this. Everything we do because we love the Lord, He's not missing anything. It's going to be a wonderful time to be with the Lord and to hear those words. Hopefully we'll all hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But there's coming a time past that point, another judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. And I think we'll be observing that. The Bible talks about wiping all tears away. I think there'll be a few last tears shed, because we'll see people whose names are not found written in the book of life cast into the lake of fire. He's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. And I think what's going to help drive those tears is we'll get to see the devil be placed where he belongs. And this song talks about that time in the future called the judgment.
Heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is opened, and countless souls to moan. From the throne comes a voice like thunder. Depart, I know ye not, for the names written in this book are the souls my blood has bought. Faces turn as into the courtroom comes the very seed of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him with the fury of all the ages. That demon voice begins to cry, it's not fair, I almost had you on Golgotha, I watched you die. Then Satan begins to tremble as his fate to him was known. From the throne came the verdict, the fire will be your home, and I see every knee is bowing, every hand in honor is raised, every voice to him is lifted. Thou art worthy, the Lamb be praised. Angels standing at attention as the redeemed begin to sing. Heaven's chorus resounds the anthem. You are Savior, Lord, and King. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy.
Singing that new song. The Crumpton family will be back together again on that day, singing that new song from Revelation chapter 5, Thou Art Worthy. Well, you know what? We're all going to be singing that song. We don't know the tune yet, but we do know the words. I think we ought to just start practicing it. Lord, Thou art worthy. Well, I want to thank the church for having us and your pastor. What a blessing. I pray for your pastor daily. I don't just say that. He's on a prayer list. I'm not saying I don't ever make a mistake, but I'm burdened for the church here. I thank God for a church that is going forward for the Lord in what I believe is these last days. Still excited about the bus ministry. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. That is, it's my heart. It's the way we started in evangelism 16 years ago, and thank God for you. Thanks for the nice motel room and the basket, and just been a refreshing to us. And, if you can be turning to Matthew chapter 22, I want to give you just another little short testimony about Matthew if we had a message tonight. And not really going to preach anything about that. The Lord just wants me to do this message here. But, and, you know, we don't understand everything that happens.
our life. We don't understand it. Now, there's a lot of things that we can understand. The Bible says, get understanding. And there's some of the things you can understand. You can understand that this is the Word of God. We love it by faith. And you can understand the virgin birth and all the things, repentance, salvation, deity of Christ, all these things you can understand. But there are some things that happens to us that we don't necessarily understand. But I found out that we don't have to understand everything. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Monday morning after this had all happened last year, it was just our family, and people had been just gathered around us all day Saturday and Sunday, and people were about to come over to our house again on that Monday. We were just the six of us. I was having a blessing on the food. We were trying to have some breakfast together. As I was praying, I said, Lord, we don't understand why this has happened, but we will understand it in the by and by. I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And my wife looked up and she said, you know, when you were praying, it reminded me of what happened last Thursday. This is the day before. We had, of course, we homeschool. Since we travel, we have to do it that way. As a matter of fact, we love to do it that way. But we were homeschooling, and we've gotten a little bit behind in our schoolwork because of deer season, which is a good scriptural reason to get behind. Venison Ministries had taken over the Crumpton family, and so we were doing that and winning deer to the freezer for bringing forth fruit. I mean, anyway. So my wife was letting Matthew catch up on his English subject by saying the sentences verbally instead of writing them. Give him a little boost, help him forward. As long as he said them right, it was okay. So he was having to write sentences using the word by. You use it once, two sentences per this particular question. Use it as a preposition once, and then use it as an adverb. This happened on Thursday, January 14th. Matthew just looked up in his own creative way and goes, we'll understand in the by and by. Well, my wife's telling me this Monday morning, she said, I wasn't sure if that was a correct answer, whether how it was used. And I said, you know what, as principal of this Christian school, homeschool, I said, that is a correct answer. I don't care if it's a preposition or an adverb, we will understand it in the by and by. Don't you love that hymn, in the sweet by and by? We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Well, if you're able to, let's stand together. Read our text scripture, Matthew chapter 22. Now, I don't know what time you normally get out, but this is not a normal service. You know, I've been to India two times, looking forward to going back in December. And a minimum service there is 3 hours, minimum. You're not laughing very much. I'm not going to do that. I promise you, I won't do that. But anyway, Matthew chapter 22, and start with verse 34. You're going to have to turn the page there. It's verse 34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's skip down to verse 46. And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. The title tonight is a phrase, sometimes not used correctly, but it's this phrase, for the love of God, for the love of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. And Lord, you've heard as we've lifted up the name of your Son tonight. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Most of all, for salvation through shed blood of your Son. Thank you for the resurrection. Lord, we pray that you would use the message tonight to stir us. And I pray that this simple foundational truth will encourage your people be strengthened, or to continue the work that we have to do until you come. And Lord, we pray that you would be glorified tonight, and Lord, that we would learn. Help us to be tender-hearted, be willing. And Lord, maybe there's someone here that's not been saved. Lord, they maybe even come up through church and not willing to admit that they're lost. Lord, I pray you convict them of sin. They can repent and trust you as Savior. Lord, we do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Have you heard the phrase used before, for the love of God? Used in a wrong way. Maybe not as much now, but there was a time where people would just use that phrase for no reason. Just, right, am I right? Am I, y'all here? Now make sure you're in the building. Everybody here? I'm not telling jokes here. We're just doing this. You ready? Okay. This will help you understand this. Guy knocks on the door, and he's got balloons and a big check. Right? Sweepstakes guy. Remember this commercial? And so she comes to the door. Hair's a mess. No makeup and everything. And sees the big check. The next three words are, "Oh my God." And she's not praying. Y'all here with me? This is the name of God Almighty. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. His name is Holy, Holy, Holy. And He's my Father. How many times do we just quietly stand by when the name of our God is used in vain? If you use God's name in vain, you sin. Very clear. The third of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Now, kids, when he says the word in vain, that means empty, for no reason. Just saying God's name when you're not really talking about it. Now they abbreviate it, OMG. It's still in here. Listen, I'm telling you, we live in a time where God's name has no more respect. What's happening here in this text? Let me go back just a little bit to verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. You know what? I got no time for those guys. You know what? I would never ask a Sadducee to preach a funeral. Come on. Well, I mean, I'm not going to go there. That's just... And so they were going to trap Jesus in His words. And they go through this whole thing. And they don't go anywhere with it, of course. How can you trap the Word of God in flesh? So in verse 34, the Pharisees say, okay, it's our turn. And they saw that the Sadducees were silent. So one of them, which was a lawyer, and no offense to any lawyers in here, but you know how they are, going to try to corner you, trap you in your words. You can't do that to Jesus. But he's tempting him. He's going to give this test. This lawyer, he knows the law. This is not very deep. Y'all okay? A lawyer knows the what? The law. And we're talking about the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the law there. And so he's maybe thinking, well, whatever Jesus says, I'm going to corner him, you know. If he says that the greatest commandment is, thou shalt not covet, well, I'll say, well, thou shalt not kill. You know, that's a little bit, if you break that one. And he's just going to try to start up a debate with Jesus. So he asks the question, which is the great command of the law? Now, Jesus, he just kind of starts thinking about it for a while. Goes, you know, let me just think back. Does he do that? He has to, I don't know. He knows right off from Deuteronomy chapter 6 what is the greatest command. You know, there's a lot of things we do in the Christian life. You're doing one thing right now. You're in church. But it's not the greatest thing in a Christian life. Those of you in the bus ministry, thank God for you. I love the bus ministry. Did it for 5 years. Started when I was 16. Went 5 years straight. Same route. And loved the kids and everything. And so now we're just trying to draw, help churches with that. But you know, it's not the greatest thing. Going to a foreign mission field, to me, that seemed like one of the greatest things you can do. It's not the greatest thing. Witnessing to people, reading your Bible, being a prayer warrior, all these things we do as a Christian, but the greatest thing is what Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Another verse says even strength. Another place. That's the first and great commandment. Then he said the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. You just picture a hanger in your mind that looks like this phrase, love God. That's on the hanger. Everything else hangs on it. Can I do it as a picture like that? Everything else hangs. Let's just take the Ten Commandments. This is a long introduction. I don't know if I ever get the outline, but y'all okay, right? What else do you got to do tonight? Let's love the Lord, you know? And so, let's just take the Ten Commandments. We won't go any farther than those. We'll try to do that and work our way through. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the greatest command. So of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first one. Well, that's simple. If you love God, you won't have any gods before Him because you love Him. Is this too deep? Everybody all right? Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image for worship. I've been in some of these countries where they have the statues and so forth, and down in Mexico, there's one statue where they've kissed the feet of the statue so much they've smoothed off the toes. And that's not going to get them to heaven. That's why we need missionaries to tell them that that's a rock you're kissing. In a loving way, we need to witness to them and say, we have a living Savior who made the rocks and He made the trees. And so if you love God, you won't put... You say, well, we don't have idolatry in our country. We got a whole show on American Idol. Idol. Yeah, our idol is a little bit different. Whatever comes before Him is an idol. We already went over three by taking God's name in vain. And you know what? People use the name of Jesus Christ. Just say His name. Are you? Listen now. You say, well, it's just a simple thing. Sometimes people, and even Christians I've heard do this. Just say, oh my God, and when they're not praying. It's a thing we need to correct. I'm trying to help you. Let's have our speech right, seasoned with salt, answering every man correctly. I don't cuss anymore. Well, that's a good step. But this is God's holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ, His name is holy. And they get to coolifying the name. I don't know if that's a word now, but they call them JC and stuff. That's not holy. And the man upstairs and those things, that's disrespect to the name of our Father, holy God. It's a big, the whole website, OMG and all this stuff. And kids need to realize that's talking about God. That's His name. Take a stand on that. I don't even let my kids say part of the word, like God or gosh or golly. I've heard pastors say it. And pastors, well, let's work on the little thing. Because little things will stack up to big things. If you love Him, you won't put any idols before Him. You won't make any. If you love Him, you won't use His name in vain. What about commandment number four, Ten Commandments? It's a little tricky, but it's simple. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That commandment not repeated the same way in the New Testament. So we don't have church on Saturday. We have the Lord's Day. He resurrected on this day, and so this is His day. But we can remember it, okay? Whose church is this? This is the Lord's church. I don't want to go too far down that because some people think it's my church. I realize when you say, I love my church, I thank God. But don't tell you, you don't own the furniture in here. Y'all okay? Everybody? This may be foreign to some, but I'm from Arkansas. And one church I was in, I was working in the Christian school, had about 24 students. Half of them were cousins. Yeah. Guy stood up over here one Sunday night and said, we need to have a meeting. I grew up, a preacher would make that kind of announcement. Just stood up out of the crowd like that. We need to have a meeting. I may have told this here before, but since we're on the subject. Well, Monday night, all these men met. Preacher said, what's this meeting about? Well, they just started saying a problem. Everybody had a problem with the preacher. Everybody had a problem. Now, I had a good package at this church. That was my first year. I was green. This is 1991 or so. And I was just like, oh boy, this is not looking good for my package. But anyway. No, but it came around. This guy, one guy said, use too many verses. I I thought he was supposed to use verses. He really said that. Well, it came around to me. I mean, everybody was trying to have all the men saying something. So I'm like, okay, it's coming to me. And I just stood up crying. I was weeping. I said, I've heard about these. But I had no idea this was what it was like. I just said it. This guy said it. He stood up. He just stood up, and the preacher's up here, and he pointed real and said it in this tone. He said, whose church is this anyhow? The preacher gave the right answer. He said, this is the Lord's church. This guy said, buddy, this is our church, and don't you forget it. I was looking around for support on that. Where I come from, lightning bolts hit people that do that. You know what? If you love God, you'll love His church. And you'll be there. Is that too simple? Remember the Sabbath day. And it says, second is like unto thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Commandment number 5 goes into relationship with people. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let's back up on this. If you love God, okay, John 3:16 says God so loved the world, so God loves people. So if you love God and God loves people, then you'll love people. Is that too deep? Well, the closest people you're with are your family, your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I know God's will for your life, young people. It was a great revelation one day. Obey your parents. God's will. Is that too hard? Just obey. The rest of it will fall in place. So, then there's a next step. Honor thy father and thy mother. Of course, if you love God, you'll love your neighbor that's closest to you, your parents. But I'm 43 years old. And we get together with my family, my parents. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas, so forth, those times. You know what I'm talking about. Well, we have a rule. We had a rule when I was growing up. Don't put your elbow on the table. That's a no-no. Well, this happened a couple of years ago. I'm 40-something, right? So I've been cooking turkeys, you know, I'm tired. So I'm leaning on the table like this, and I'm eating. We're fellowship, you know, family talking, everything. And you know, you can just feel when Mama's looking at you. She's not saying anything. It's just something. I mean, she's like Superman or something. She's got eyes like lasers. So I look over, and I can kind of see her grinning. She's looking. I put it off just for a minute. You know what? I do not, listen, kids, I'm a grown man. I don't have to obey my parents. Children obey your parents. Not me. I don't have to obey. I could just keep my elbow on the table. Not going in. I could do that, but she's looking and she's kind of smiling. I see her over there. She's just kind of cutting her eyes at my elbow. I'm 40-something. You know what I do? I've gone past this point of obedience. I want to honor them. My mom and dad just moved to where we live when we're home. They're in Arkansas, but they lived in the Memphis area for years. If they had stayed through this spring, they would have been in the same church for 40 years. I honor them. 30 of those years, my dad drove a bus picking up kids. 27 of those years, my mom taught second grade boys Sunday school. Now she has a new ministry. She's taking care of my grandmother, who's 94. I honor them. I love them. If you love God, you'll love people. You'll honor your parents. How about commandment number 6? We're going through this. Just this little rough, quick 10 commandments drill here. Commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. If you love God, you'll love people, you won't kill them. This is deep. This is real deep. Now what happens when the government says we're in a war? If there's somebody out there that's mercilessly killing someone else and they won't stop, there's only one answer for them. They have to be stopped. And I'm for that. But Jesus talked about this commandment and went farther than that because it's not about defense or freedom. It's about hatred. Jesus said, if you have hatred in your heart toward someone, you have committed murder in your heart toward them. Hatred builds up. You know, if you love God, you'll love people. You'll care about their souls, see. Number 7. Y'all ready? Seat belts. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, I grew up in church like this. Independent fundamental since I was 3 years old. I don't know anything else. I thought everybody was just holy and perfect. You know what? You know why? Because I'm thankful for my parents. They didn't come home criticizing everybody in the church. And I didn't know. I thought everybody was good and holy and everything. And that was good. It gave me help and respect. When I got to be an adult, I started to find out we're not so holy. We're people. We should be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I preach this subject to kids. How do you preach thou shalt not commit adultery to kids? Not that hard. Just go to the story of Joseph. Kids awake, raise your hand if you're listening. Try to help everybody. Y'all had naps this afternoon, right? Or you're on the bus or something. Raise your hand if you're listening. Come on, help everybody. Just do it. Look at the guy beside you. Make sure their hand's up. I do this with kids. It just helps everybody. All right, you put your hands down. Turn off your cell phones, everything. Okay. The story of Joseph. You know, he was a slave. And Potiphar had gone on a trip. Potiphar was his master. Left Potiphar's wife behind and left Joseph in charge of all his household. Well, Potiphar's wife saw Joseph. He was a sharp-looking slave, you know. And she wanted some kissy-kissy. Joseph said, no kissy-kissy. Is this simple enough? But day after day, she was after him. Now, she's married to Potiphar now. She wasn't supposed to be doing this, but she wanted some kissy-kissy with Joseph. And kept saying, Joseph, put a little makeup and everything going. And Joseph, how about some kissy-kissy? Joseph said, no kissy-kissy. Just kept on after him. And finally, she was like, you belong to me, you're my slave, and I want some kissy-kissy. And Joseph said, no kissy-kissy. Not my wife. Of course, she got a hold of his clothes and he took off, ripped a piece of his clothes off, and she used the clothes to say he was trying to kissy her and framed it. He got put in jail. But it all turned around. Joseph became second to Pharaoh over Potiphar. Now, all of that came true later. But anyway, Jesus went further with this. He said, if you have lust in your heart toward them, you committed adultery in your heart with them already. I tell you, it's a day where lust is rampant. It's a fight, men. It's a fight. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God every day. Say, God, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Ladies ought to be concerned about this. To not be provocative. Because you know what? If you love God, you won't even get close to this, to breaking this command. I know it's kind of plain and straight, but it's time. Why is there so much adultery and divorce and problems in this kind of church? Why? I don't understand that. We know better. Why does this man have to spend time sitting with couples and trying to help them? Let me ask you, please, don't be a high-maintenance church member. Just back up and say, you know what? I love God. Tell your wife, you love God, I love God. Hey, let's love God together. And the love will come between you closer when you love God. When you love God, you won't commit adultery with someone else because you love Him and you love, and if you love Him and He loves people and you love people, you'll treat other people right. Especially your husband or your wife. Well, we better move on. We can spend a lot of time there. Number 8. Thou shalt not steal. You love God, you love people, and you won't steal their stuff. We cover that one good? It's not your... Number 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, there's a golden rule. You know who wrote the golden rule? God. Jesus said this. How do you want to be treated? Treat others like you want to be treated. You want people stealing your stuff? How does that feel? I know it's basic. You want people lying to you? I told kids when I was working in a Christian school in high school there, I told them they were kind of concerned about getting a job. And I said, look, it's so bad today. If you'll just work hard and be honest, be on time, you can go as far ladder as you want to. Just work it. God will give you. They were kind of criticizing the IFB cult. Did you hear about that? The cult thing? You know what? I realize maybe some folks have made mistakes and so forth, but let me say something. We are working people that love God. You take us out of America, it will change. Just being honest. Thou shalt not covet is the last one. And you know, it all hangs on loving God. If you love God, I want to just briefly go through something here. Just a quick outline. Go to Luke chapter 12. Jesus, and this is really the message. Of course, this principle can change your life if you'll let it. So why'd you come tonight? Show off new clothes? Make sure somebody didn't get on to you? Why? Did you come so that you'd be recognized as being faithful on Sunday night? You know, Sunday night's a wonderful service. It always has. It's just something special about Sunday night service. But why do we do the things that we do? Because we love God. But we in America have an issue. We have a trouble with this last command in a serious way. Thou shalt not covet. Luke chapter 12, verse 13, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. The guy's having some family problems. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now, was Jesus a righteous judge? Yes, he is the righteous judge. But he wasn't the one to come to for this situation. So he straightens him out a little bit, and then he says to them, you know, Jesus couldn't take care of this man's inheritance problem, but he could take care of the root of the problem if a man was willing. The root of the problem was take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. Kids, you know what covetous means is? Greedy. It's greedy. My name is Jimmy, so gimme, gimme, gimme. That kind of greedy. The word covet in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the root word is lust. That's why in Exodus 20, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor, you know, so forth, everything. Y'all with me still? Now look at verse 15 close here. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Let it soak in, American Christian, Independent Fundamental Baptist. Our life is not the stuff we have collected. I really feel like the only way that our country is going to have revival is if we have a stuff issue. If we can't buy any more stuff, if the money really gets, we might have revival before Jesus comes. We need something. Now, are we willing to? Let's do this. Let's call this little section here the test of covetousness. To see if we are breaking this sin. Are we willing to go there? Everybody okay? Wait, smile or something? Y'all okay? It's a tough one. And I'm sitting right in the pew with you. It's a test. It's a hard test. But Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Not too many times did He say beware. Okay? And we ought to pay attention. When Jesus says beware, we need to do that. My uncle passed away. Actually, last year we lost 5 in our family on my mom's side. And we also in our church there was 3 funerals. Not Matt's the first one, and then there was a 9-year-old girl. The family asked us to sing for the funeral. And here we are in the same situation in our church, and we're singing over a pink casket instead of a pine green casket. And my kids just about came to pieces. We got through the song. Trying to be helped to that family. 9-year-old girl, she was saved in our junior church. She was killed in a car accident. Last day of the year, we sang for a funeral, lady in our church. Her husband had been fighting sicknesses and he passed away. And we sang for that funeral. But On December the 15th, my uncle, the great uncle, my granddad's side, my mom's, he was 93. You have it on the 15th, just like Matthew, December the 15th. He was a general. I didn't mean to say that. He was a sergeant in the Korean War. And one of the chosen frozen, if that means something to you Marines. An honorable man. Well, the family on this year, just a little while back, asked us to come up to the house. He had no children. He had a son that passed away when he was 25. He lost his wife to Alzheimer's. He had no other relatives besides all the nieces and nephews. So I said at the funeral, I said, if y'all need some help, call. Of course, we went up there just 2 hours from our house, and we lived just around the corner from Brother Stanley over there. He's been over to visit him and stuff. But anyway, I'm sitting there. I'm trying to help, but it's just, you know, the memories. I'm looking through stacks of pictures. And I told my family way over, I said, you know, I appreciate my family. There won't be people arguing about stuff in this house. We get there, and it was a blessing. But I got to thinking about it. You know, someday people are going to come to your house and do the same thing. When you're gone, they're going to come dig through your stuff. It's just stuff, you know. And unless we really use the things, the stuff that we have, unless we use it pointing toward the glory of God, we're wasting. We're stacking up a lot of things that are not laying up treasures in heaven. Did I get that word right? Just putting it where it is. Is it okay? God has given us richly all things to enjoy. I'm thankful for the guns that God's given to me. Is that okay to say? Are we on TV? I'm in Arkansas. I know it doesn't work in Illinois, but I heard about Illinois conceal and carry. Yeah, keep it going. God's blessed us with so much. Test of covetousness. He spake a parable and said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. It wasn't the guy's money or anything. It was the ground. Who made the dirt? God did. The ground brought him forth everything. Let's give credit to God. You know, the test of covetousness is somewhat of this. Are we taking credit for what God's given to us? Are we giving Him glory? That's number one, quick point. Do we love self or the Savior? Last days men shall be lovers of their own selves. Lovers of pleasure more than lover of God. What shows that we love self? Importance of stuff. Taking credit for God's action. Is it self or the Savior? Number two. Do we love our soul or lost souls? This guy had some problems here. This parable. I love this parable. He said, what shall I do? I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods and will say to my soul. So he's talking to his own soul. Is that so? How do you do that? Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Aren't we that? Aren't we the ease culture? I was thinking about trying to invent a remote to find the remote. I think I could pay my kids college after I got that patent. Because, man, we're just... Yeah. Number two, do we love our soul or lost souls? That's a test. When we're in conversation, let's just get right in. When we're in conversation, is the majority of our conversation more about me or about him and the things of him? Now, I realize there's time for fellowship. You know what I mean, but is it pointing toward him? You know, sometimes you talk with folks and they're just talking about themselves so much you can't get a word in. There is a problem there. Self or the Savior? Our soul or lost souls? The thoughtlessness of others. Being ethical, being considerate, showing how you love others. You know, if you love God, you'll love others. I think another part of this on our soul, because it says, God said unto him, verse 20, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, another thing that shows us test ignoring the reality of hell. Preached on this morning. Hell is real. Lost souls are going there. And we need to be about the business of what the Lord gave us, the job of the church. Go therefore and teach all nations. Do we think of ease more than of eternity? Let me try to finish this up here. I came across this letter, and you may have read this here already, but it caught my attention because I grew up very similar to the person in this letter. It was written to Kerry Smith. Have you heard of this letter? He called it the saddest letter I've ever written, or ever read, excuse me. It's from a girl that's a junior at a well-known Christian college, and she's reaching out. Okay, maybe not wording everything just right, but coming on a good point. She says, I grew up in a highly respected fundamental independent Baptist church. Went to excellent Christian school. My father's been a Christian worker since before I was born. She said, one would think that my testimony would go that I was saved when I was little and dedicated my life to God, and I'm growing and I'm studying to serve Him full time. She said, that's not my story. She said, I did make a profession when I was young, but I didn't get saved until I was 17. Through my teenage years and on into college, I struggled with serious issues. And I found out when I went to college, I'm not the only good kid who has struggled with or is still struggling with serious stuff. We struggle with issues like eating disorders, depression, suicide, cutting, pornography, gender identity, sodomy, drugs, drinking, immorality. The list could go on. Many listen to wild music and idolize pop culture heroes and watch dirty sitcoms, having no discrimination in our entertainment, dress, or aspect of lifestyle. She said, I know I'm generalizing. Obviously, not every Christian young person from conservative background struggles with this, praise God, but some do. Now, I'm not going to give the whole detail of this, but she comes down to the point of this. Are you ready? She said, our parents did not spend time teaching us to love God. What a statement. He says, our parents put us in Sunday school since K-4. Our parents took us to church every time the doors were open, sent us to every youth activity, made sure we went to good Christian colleges, sing in the choir, help in the nursery, be ushers, go soul winning. We did teen devotionals, prayed over every meal. We did everything right, and they made sure that we did, but they forgot about our hearts. They put us where we were surrounded by the Bible, but didn't take time to show us that God was important enough to tell us personally about Him. So, to us, Christianity became a religion of externals. Do all the right stuff, and you're a good Christian. Some of us walk away from church. Some stay and fill a pew. Many struggle with stuff that our parents had no idea because they hardly knew us. She makes another statement here about she realized that the Christian life is not about a list of rules. It is about a relationship. It's about loving God. She says somehow we've in some places missed this. Because I can think of too many that are not still here with us. And I don't want my kids to write a letter like that. And I realize they worked it out. She's just reaching out. She wasn't trying to blame the parents. She just discovered something. And I think we need to discover this. Because you know what? If you love God, you'll love your wife and you'll love your kids and you will spend time with them praying and having devotions. It fits for it. Hangs. Everything hangs on this, right? You can get so about duty, doing things for duty, then you miss it for love. Let me try to word it a little better. Jesus said, if you have done everything I've said, you've done your duty, you're an unprofitable servant. There's other scriptures where He says, I hate what you're doing. You're bringing in the sacrifices and the sweet-smelling savor is supposed to be, but you're just doing it out of duty. You're not doing it because you love me. He says, I hate that. Every false way, He says, I hate. Are you with me? There's a lot of things we've grown up hearing. Everybody okay? Get your hair tapered all the way up to, high taper. Right? Sit on the front row. Go to the altar when God speaks. Go to the altar when God doesn't speak. You hear a lot of... Wear a cross pin. Have tracks in your inside pocket. There's a lot of things. But what about the main thing? Because if you love God, I'll tell you something. Somebody gets saved, they love God, you can't hold them back. You have to pound it into them all the time. What helps us to love God? Are you ready for this? We love Him because He first loved us. He became sin for us who knew no sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He came into His own. His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm a child of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. They were mocking Him. They were mocking Him, and He cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are we getting back to what's going on here? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I didn't give my son. I didn't want him to go. God gave His son so that I could be saved. I want to read something to you. I got a little thing here. I'm just trying to go over, man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Matthew was only alive for exactly 15 years. He didn't have a whole lot of stuff. He got past the toy age. We didn't have much use for toys. We were always on the road. Kind of hard to do. We were into hunting. That was our big toys, So when we start to cleaning out. My kids were just so strong. That's part of what you have to do. We're home a lot in the wintertime. We have a little homeschool room set up, and he has a little desk there. We changed all the furniture. And we got our kids new beds. You say, were their old beds bad? No, it's just the situation was hard to deal with. I don't know if I'm trying to help you see what I'm saying, but it just needed to be different than it was. My kids are cleaning out Matthew's school desk there. And they found this little notepad. It has his name in the front there. It has a name in the back, too. He's real funny about putting his names and everything. Put his name in his socks, underwear. He just named everything. It's just the way he was. Well, he had a little sermon note in here. There was only one page that was written in this little notebook. And it was from a mission conference. When I found it, I looked at the date. It was January the 28th, 2008. I looked at the calendar, and it was exactly to the day, Monday, 2 years before. Matthew was 13 when he was taking these notes at a mission conference in Arkansas. And we were singing for that. From 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and the verse was, they first gave of themselves. Mission conference scriptures, 2 Corinthians 8. It's just a simple outline: giving, tithe, sacrificial giving, faith, promise, word. The last point is give all of yourself to the Lord. And I'm glad he took notes. That would have been good just to find that. Give all yourself to the Lord. Then as we were digging, he was kind of a pack rat a little bit. I'm glad he was. I found this January 29, 2008, same meeting. Only this paper was separate from the other ones, or from this. He was preaching along, and the preacher said, we're talking about missions. He's verse 6 through 9 now. We're challenged by pictures, we're challenged by song, we're challenged by scripture, we're challenged by God. Just basic mission conference. Last phrase there, lay up treasure in heaven, not on earth. Then there's something really special on here that's not actually a sermon note. It's more of a decision. It's three words. It says, I am willing. And he circled it. I am willing. I thought, you know, that would work at a lot of mission conferences. I am willing. It would work anytime. And I'm thankful. When Matthew went, his testimony was good. I want to say this to the teenagers. They called me late on January the 15th from the place where they ask you to donate to help other people. And donate kidney, those kind of things. Well, they're going to have to do an autopsy, so the only thing they could really ask for was Matthew's skin. And I thought, you know, if Matthew was here, he would... I know he'd be willing to do this. And so I said, do I have to do this tonight? She said, no, but we need to do it soon. I said, I understand. So that morning I called him early and she began to ask me questions. It took about 30 minutes. Asked me questions about what kind of sicknesses did he have? Did he have this, that, and then just hard things like did he have AIDS? Did he have transmitted diseases? And I'm just thinking, why am I having to ask? She kept apologizing. She said, I'm sorry I have to ask these questions, but I said, I understand legally you have to do this and to be able to use his skin. So finally, I was just going through it, and I was just almost feeling bitter that I'm going through this. And she wasn't being mean over the phone or anything, but since we agreed, she had to ask all the questions. But I just kept saying no, 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 no. And then the Lord just brought a little peace over me and said, aren't you glad you're able to say no to all those questions? So think about how many 15-year-olds out there don't have the testimony, who have messed up their life, and their parents are having to say things they don't want to say out loud about their kids. I wasn't ashamed. And I finally just stopped her and said, man, really? The only thing he has is acne on his face. I'm not building up Matthew above my other kids. They have a good testimony too, and I'm proud of them. I would have been able to say similar things, and I'm thankful. Children are a heritage of the Lord. We tell our kids every night that we love them. I wonder how many parents have regrets about that. But they didn't get to say, I love you that last time. But Matthew was kind of funny. He always wanted to be the last one to say, I love you. I mean, maybe he'd already say it, you know, but he'd come back around, knock on the door, love you, and he'd go to bed. The kind of way he was. Not that it's above the other kids, just his nature to do that. And I don't have any regrets in that area. His last words to me, we were on the way to the ball game that night. We got there and I didn't talk much. He was with all his friends. There was a thing in the yard, I'd ask him if we were going to go to a meeting just right after the ball game. We're going to travel up to Springfield where we were, a long trip through the night. But I said, will you put that away before we leave? Well, on the way to the game, I asked him, I said, did you put that away? He said, yes, sir. It's the last thing I remember him saying to me. But I'm proud of that. I'm glad he didn't say it in a disrespectful way. I went back and looked to see if it was where it was supposed to be. Now, we was in a hurry. I figured he just shoved it in the storage room. He hung it up exactly like it was supposed to be. Not only did he obey, he honored it. Did it right. Do we love God? Are we willing? Now, it's easy to do all these things by duty. Kind of get in the groove of it. When you love God, He notices that. There's reward in heaven for that. Well, what if you don't? What if you just do it out of duty? Well, you're getting your reward now. Jesus said that. There's your reward. You want to pat on the back? There you go. For the love of God. And can I put it in the right way? for the love of God, let's really do right. For the love of God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. I pray this basic truth would help someone tonight. Lord, it's your word, it's your message. Lord, everything does hang on loving you. Lord, forgive us. Our motives are sometimes very wrong. Sometimes our motives are prideful. Sometimes we're motivated by other things, Lord. Even your second coming, Lord, is not the real motivation. The real motivation is just loving you because you gave your Son for us. Lord, this helps us get back to the basic, keeping your commandments. Lord, you said if we love you, then we'll keep your commandments. Your commandments are not grievous. And so, Lord, we pray you'll just bless in a special invitation time tonight. I pray if families have been encouraged. Lord, we do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's please stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. We have a responsibility, dads or heads of home, to lead our children. I try not to ever miss out when God does something. Point out when He does it. Realizing every day, hey, He's feeding us. He's keeping us healthy. We don't deserve any blessings at all. Give Him glory. We get to running and doing all the churchy things, and sometimes we forget why we're doing this. Music's going to begin to play. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Let's just gather around the Lord, tell Him you love Him. Say, I love you, Lord. I love you. I've been doing it for self. Forgive me, Lord. I just love you. Thank you that I'm saved.